Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletin. Used to having this kind of backup. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. And we want to extend a very special welcome to all of you that are visiting with us this morning. We want you to know that you are welcome and we want you to feel welcome. We hope that you have a very meaningful worship experience with us this morning. And if you are a visitor looking for a church home, we hope that you will seriously consider Main Street. And as the attendance pads are passed down, if you would give us your address and phone number, we'll have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. So at this time, if you would please pass those attendance pads down, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. Our Wednesday gathering series will continue this Wednesday night. The meal, as usual, will begin at 5:15, and the program begins at 6:15. The menu for this week's program is baked ham, oven-roasted potatoes, green beans, dessert, and rolls. It will be prepared by the Drake class this week. Your program, you'll have two options again this week for program. Reverend Dennis will begin a Bible study on the book of Ruth, and we will be continuing the DVD series Making Love Last a Lifetime, and that will be led by Jimmy and Kathy Kelly. Please make reservations for the Wednesday night gathering using the yellow cards in the pew racks there or by calling the church office. Also, Main Streeters are reminded that on October the 17th, your next meeting, you will be taking a tour of the newly renovated community theater, and following that you will go to Greenwood Country Club for lunch, so you can make reservations for that, again, using the cards in your pew rack. But that's October the 17th. And place October 29th on your calendar. That will be our fall festival here at the church. That will be on Sunday, October the 29th, in the Fellowship Hall. There will be games, a hayride, a scary house, plenty of candy, so put that on your calendar. Make plans to attend the Fall Festival October the 29th. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand for the call to worship. Santo, 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 a Dios en gloria.
Heilig, 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 Herr Gott, der Allmächtige.
Naran katejot.
Mtakatifu, 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 Mungu mwenye enzi.
And now together in English. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or peril or sword? Through him who loved us we shall surely conquer all. Yes, Jesus is the one. Still persuaded, and I know it is true, neither life or death, nor things yet to be, oh, none shall separate us from the love of God. Yes, Jesus is the one.
As we come to our prayer time, I'd like to lift up some special concerns for the Main Street congregation. Jones Pendergrass this weekend has injured his eye and needs to be in our special prayers. He's got ordered bed rest for quite some time. And Charles Maloney was in ICU on Friday and moved, I understand, to a regular room yesterday. I don't know if we have an update on Charles. Hopes to come home tomorrow. Good. Already an answer to some prayers. Let us pray briefly before we enter into the litany for the church and the world. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, forgive us when we forget to pray. Still our hearts and minds in this moment so that we truly pray, and draw us nearer to you by your Spirit and nearer to one another. Remind us of those who we have promised to pray for. And give us hearts of compassion and concern for those who hurt, who are oppressed, who are in illness or in grief. Take away our haughtiness and give us acceptance. Unfold our arms and make us be quick to open and embrace. We thank you for your kindness and grace. Give us a spirit to offer the same to all those we meet. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Almighty God, may all people who confess your name be united in your truth and live together in your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Darle la guidance a hacer justico a todo y para servir nuestros hombres compañeros. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Segnen alle Leute und helfen Sie uns, einander zu lieben, wie Jesus uns liebt. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Waguruji kakalsa, waguruji kafata.
Wanyonge na waumivu uwape imani, furaha na ushujaa. Bwana, Sikia maombi yetu. Lord, hear our prayer. We offer these prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I think it's a Swahili thing, African thing. Can we stand to say the Lord's Prayer in Swahili, please? Baba yetu aliye mbinguni, jina lako litukuzwe, ufalme wako na uje, mapenzi yako yatendeke duniani kama ilivyo mbinguni. Utupe leo mkate wetu wa kututosha, na utusamehe makosa yetu kama tunavyo samehe watukosao. Usituongoze majaribuni, bali utuongoze maovuni. Kwa maana ufalme na nguvu na utukufu ni vyako milele. Amina.
I ask you to be seated and ask the children to come forward for the children's time with Kelly Mullenix and Guest.
As we gathered this morning, we might have noticed that we've had some different languages spoken in our service today, and we're going to talk about that this morning in our time together. Today is World Communion Sunday. World Communion Sunday does not mean that everybody in the world is taking communion today. It means that we, as a United Methodist Church in Greenwood, South Carolina, are not only thinking about our church in Greenwood, but about all churches of the world. And you know, not everybody speaks English. Okay? I was watching the movie the other night, and it was supposed to be a Hispanic family, but they were talking in English. And I thought, now that's not realistic. If they were all together, they would be talking in what language? Spanish. Okay. If you lived in France, you would be speaking French. Okay. And what we're going to have right now is we're going to talk about even the music is sung in different languages. Not everybody sings music in English. So we're going to take a familiar song that you know and many children all over the world know and sing in different languages. That song is Jesus Loves Me. I've invited Carly and Leanne Punt to sing Jesus Loves Me in English as you know it. And then I've invited Haley, Carly, and Marissa Rogers to sing it in Spanish for us so you can hear what it sounds like in a different language. So we're going to start with the English, and if you would like to join them, you can sing with them. Wait just a minute. Okay. Let's sing.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones who Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so.
Yay, good job. And now, you know, that song is not just about Jesus loving children, but it's about Jesus loving everybody all over the world. So, to demonstrate that, we're going to hear it in Spanish. See if you can recognize some of the words that you know in Spanish.
Cristo mi ama y en lo sé. Supralabre mi ascender, que los niños son de aquel, quien es nuestro amigo fiel. Cristo me ama, Cristo me ama, Cristo me ama, la Biblia.
So that last line in Spanish is La Biblia dice así, which means the Bible says it here. So if you read your Bibles, you will see that God loves everyone all over the world. And remember that when you pray, not only are you having a prayer to God, but some other child in this world is having a prayer to God, and maybe in a different language. Let's have a prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for our lives here in America, and we thank you for children all over the world. We ask that you be with all of the children and bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter, verse 38 through 50. Hear now God's word. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw a man casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon after to speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, some readings in our Bible, on first reading, they are difficult. And then some, like today's, on second, third, and fourth, they are difficult. We will try to make sense of the reading for us today. As I approach this brief message, I'm reminded that a few years back I was once offered the opportunity to serve, and some of you know of this this mission at Redbird Mission in Kentucky. Now, it is way up in the hills. Now, I investigated what it was like, and I talked to a former pastor who was there for several years, and he told me a story to give me a feel for Redbird Mission. He said that shortly after he arrived, some of his well-meaning members came to the parsonage and said, "Preacher, the Baptist pastor down the hill is talking you down. You want us to take care of him?" That happened. That gave me a flavor. I thought, on the one hand, what loyalty to their pastor. I've never had a hit squad before. That might be dangerous. But on the other hand, what a perversion of unity under Christ. What an abnegation of the Great Commission. Christians have fought and died over manufactured theological walls for millennia. And of course, some few things really do matter, but the majority of the hairs that we split do not. I am slowly narrowing my theology down to what Paul said to the Corinthians, where he said, "For I have decided to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified." And I want to add to that what the children sang, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That would be just about enough theology. But to illustrate the divisiveness on this World Communion Sunday, in which we think of the Great Commission and all those everywhere who claim Christ, I'm going to tell a story that's one of my favorites. I've told it before. Indulge me. It illustrates perfectly. Emo Phillips said this. He said, "I was walking across a bridge one day and I saw a man standing on the edge ready to jump. And so I ran over and I said, 'Stop! Don't do it!' He said, 'Why shouldn't I?' I said, 'Well, there's so much to live for.' He said, 'Like what?' He said, 'Well, are you religious or atheist?' He said, 'Religious.' I said, 'Me too. Are you Christian or Buddhist?' He said, 'Christian.' I said, 'Me too. Are you Catholic or Protestant?' He said, 'Protestant.' I said, 'Me too. Are you Episcopalian or Baptist?' He said, 'Baptist.' I said, 'Wow, me too. Are you Baptist Church of God or Baptist Church of the Lord?' He said, 'Baptist Church of God.' I said, 'Me too. Are you Original Baptist Church of God or are you Reformed Baptist Church of God?' He said, 'Reformed Baptist Church of God.' He's perking up a little bit. And I said, 'Me too. Are you Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1879, or Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1915? He said, 'Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1915. And so I said, 'Die, heretic scum,' and pushed him off. We can be so close and then allow things to divide us. The disciples, if you read this carefully, wanted to get rid of some borderline people who were using Jesus' name, but they weren't, they weren't proper. And Jesus said, 'Don't sweat it. Whoever is not against us is for us.' Now, in my first church, there was an older woman who was kin to the founders, and she was famous for asking visitors, 'What are you doing here? Who invited you? Who told you you could come in here? That's my pew.' She was famous for that. You can imagine they didn't take in very many new members. She clearly had the mindset that if you were not born here, then you do not belong here. The disciples were dangerously close to that kind of thinking. Now, in the current war on terror, the motto is a worldly one. If you are not for us, you are against us. And maybe wars have to be that way. But in Jesus' spiritual struggle against unrighteousness and sin and death, Jesus did things the other way around. He said, "Whoever is not against us is for us." But the disciples, even still, wanted to build a wall and push these other people away. Jesus said, "No, don't do that. If these outsiders are doing anything real in my name, they will not soon later be able to speak ill of me. If they experience real power to heal, to change, and make whole, then they will soon be one of us. Do not discourage these little ones. And that means little faiths. That means almost. These little almost Christians. Don't discourage them just because they have not followed as far as you have. Leave them alone. Let us wait and see. I'm reminded of Psalm 34, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Let these folks feed on the gospel for a while and get the taste of it and find out it's real and find out it heals and find out that it's good. It is indeed of God. And you guys, be nice to them while they're finding that out. The welcoming in of sinners and outsiders has been too often replaced in our churches by the conceit that we are already good, already chosen, and isn't God lucky to have us? Maybe that's why on a week-to-week basis in worship we have given up weekly confession. Because confession is for sinners, and sinners are, well, that's other people. That's other people. We are church folks. What do we have to confess? So many things in religion get distorted over time. For example, grace. Unmerited, unearned love and forgiveness is the good news of the gospel. But somehow among theologians, election has become a big buzzword and grace has come in second place. Focusing on me as an elect, as being one of God's chosen, has too often bred an elitism, a self-importance, and everything but the humility of complete dependence upon God's grace alone. Our hope is in the open-armed grace that Jesus shows today in this reading and in the cross where He died, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. For whomsoever will come. Yes, you and I are especially beloved by God in Christ. But the offer to you is also to the whole world. So let's not build walls that Jesus died to destroy. In Christ there is neither male nor female, says the Apostle Paul, neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. In Christ we are one. Our calling is one, to go and make disciples, not stay and build up walls. Go, Jesus said, go and bring in new disciples, even the little faiths and the mature transfers, some who only know that there is power in Jesus' name and little else. In communion, we recognize that the table is God's, the invitation is God's, and all are welcome. And as far as confession, I'm drawn back to Psalm 51. As we approach the table, the sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. All who come in humility and repentance will meet God here. All who know their need of a Savior and accept that God was in Christ, making peace by the blood of His cross, will find brothers and sisters here. Jesus said in John, truly I say unto you, he who believes has eternal life. Again, he said, I am the bread of life. It is God's gracious will to give us the kingdom, to give us forgiveness, to give us new life, and to give us life eternal. How dare disciples of old or disciples today build walls where God in Christ has come to earth to give Himself and His love and His grace to whomsoever will come. It is not our job to build hurdles and hedgerows. It is our job to extend the invitation outside the walls. The gospel is not about who is greater. The gospel is about God's grace. The disciples' attitude seemed to anger Jesus. We would hope not to anger Jesus with our understanding of the gospel. If we are exclusive in pushing those out who would come, then we too deserve anger and wrath. Do we offer hope? Do we extend Jesus' invitation? Or do we smugly climb into God's chair and presume to judge who is in and who is out? Jesus is not asking us to take him literally when he speaks of gouging out eyes and cutting off hands and feet, but he is asking us to take him seriously. He certainly had their attention. The way we welcome or exclude can hurt the cause of Christ. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples and us in this story. He seems to be saying that there's no excuse. If you want to be part of me, then you cannot be part of anything that diminishes the faith or drives away another human being. It would be better to break up our own bodies, he is saying, than to break up the body of Christ. Salt preserves what is good. Salt was a preservative like salt ham. Salt is what we are supposed to be for the earth. To preserve what is good as Christians. Preserve what is godly as Christians. To preserve what is good. So we shouldn't sweat that others are not as far along as we are. We should keep an eye on our own heart. And if we want to be picky and judge and cast things out, then we will find plenty of things to judge and cast out within us. Let us only preserve within ourselves what is good and live out what is good and be welcoming and extend the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Edwin Markham has a poem I'm going to close with. It says, "He drew a circle to shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in." That's the good news of our faith. God has drawn a circle that includes us sin. So our religion is not one of exclusion, but of inclusion. And even at this table we are about to approach, as Charles Wesley said, speaking of communion, he wrote in his hymn, "Come, sinners, to the gospel feast. Ye need not one be left behind, for God hath bidden all humankind." No one is excluded. All are welcome. Whether members of this congregation or not, all are welcome. If you come humbly seeking God, God on some level will meet you here. You are invited to the Lord's table. It is His table. It is His invitation. It is His grace that we rejoice in today. Amen. I ask you to turn to page 12 for the order of communion. I'd like my helpers to come down front. Those who are going to assist me in communion, please come down front. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who comes to me shall not thirst. Arise and go in peace, and may the bread of heaven nourish your soul into everlasting life. Amen. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Arise and go in peace, and in his service may you find perfect freedom. Amen.
Not be afraid.
Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near.
You are my salvation. I trust in you. I shall not be afraid. You strength. You are my song.
In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your
joy, you will draw water at the fountain of salvation. Give thanks to the Lord.
And may the light of the world shine on your pathway and in your heart forever.
Proclaim God's name.
The Lord, I will rejoice.
Even the darkness is not dark to you.
lies within us. Let not my doubts nor my darkness speak to me. Lord Jesus Christ, your light shines within us. Let my heart always welcome your
Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." Arise and go in peace, and by your fruits may all men know that you're disciples of our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Arise and go in peace, and may the true light shine into your mind and with the knowledge and love of God and of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, so there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Arise and go in peace, and may the voice of the good shepherd be your comfort in sorrow and your guide in happiness. Amen. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Arise and go in peace. And by being spent in the service of Christ, may you find the source of rich and abundant life. Amen. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say to you, but cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Arise and go in peace, and may the Spirit of truth be your companion and guide forever. Amen. forth in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.